The New Testament lesson this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. We have the same faithful spirit as what is written in Scripture. I had faith, and so I spoke. We also have faith, and we also speak. We do this because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus, and he will bring us into his presence along with you. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude to increase, which results in God's glory. So we aren't depressed. And even if our bodies are breaking down on the outside, the person that we are on the inside is being renewed every day. Our temporary minor problems are producing an eternal stockpile of glory for us that is beyond all comparison. We don't focus on the things that can be seen, but on the things that can't be seen. The things that can be seen don't last, but the things that can't be seen are eternal. We know that if the tent that we live in on earth is torn down, we have a building from God. It's a house that isn't handmade, which is eternal and located in heaven. Thanks be to God. This morning's gospel lesson is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Jesus entered a house. A crowd gathered again, so that it was impossible for him and his followers even to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they came to take control of him. They were saying, "He's out of his mind." The legal experts came down from Jerusalem. Over and over they charged, "He's possessed by Beelzebub. He throws out demons with the authority of the ruler of demons." When Jesus called them together, he spoke to them in a parable. How can Satan throw Satan out? A kingdom involved in civil war will collapse, and a house torn apart by divisions will collapse. If Satan rebels against himself and is divided, then he can't endure. He's done for. No one gets into the house of a strong person and steals anything without first tying up the strong person. Only then can the house be burglarized. I assure you that human beings will be forgiven for everything, for all sins and insults of every kind. But whoever insults the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. That person is guilty of a sin with consequences that last forever. He said this because the legal experts were saying, "He's possessed by an evil spirit." His mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside and sent word to him, calling for him. A crowd was seated around him, and those sent to him said, "Look, your mother, brothers, and sisters are outside looking for you." He replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Looking around at those seated around him in a circle, he said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Families come in many configurations. There are families that include two parents and some children. There are families that include only one parent and children. There are families with no children. There are families that include grandparents and other extended family members. Family can include those dear, close friends who feel like family. Family includes our ancestors. And no matter what your family looks like, there are probably times when your family is good, bad, and possibly ugly. Families are messy. I used to think that my family was pretty normal and without any dysfunction. Now, I think families having some sort of dysfunction may be normal. Families are just messy. They're places of great joy and at times of great pain. And Jesus' family was no different. Imagine that night in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. That was a night of great joy for Mary and Joseph. And as Jesus grew up and very likely followed in his father's footsteps into the family business, there was happiness, there was joy. Jesus would have been the older brother taking over that business and leading it once Joseph had died. But then he became an itinerant preacher. Jesus had no place to call home. He walked from town to town with the clothes on his back, preaching and teaching and healing. So his family was concerned about him. First, he was throwing away his security. And his leaving also impacted the family's finances, since he wasn't there to run the family business as the oldest son of a dead father. They feared for his safety as he seemed to take on and anger the powerful officials. And consider the gossip in Nazareth over his leaving his family behind and roaming the countryside the way he did. I'm sure there was embarrassment felt by his family too. He was also tossing aside the values of society for the values of the kingdom of God. This was a risk for him, and the family felt they were at risk too. In this text, we learn that the family wanted to take Jesus away, to get control of him, because they thought he'd lost his mind. Later, in the Gospel of Luke, we're told that Jesus preached in the synagogue at Nazareth, and he read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And this is what he read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And when he was done, Jesus rolled up the scroll and he said to those gathered there, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." They went ballistic. The people wanted to drive him out of town, and they led him to the edge, intending to toss him off a cliff. But he got away. And then if we go back to the text that Ginny just read for us, when the people let Jesus know that his family is there and they're calling for him, his response is, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother." Jesus' family had joys, but it had conflicts too. And Jesus knows that our family life is the same. Our family is designed to be something good. Our family is a place where we're to be nurtured and to learn to love each other. It's a place where we learn kindness and how to take care of one another. And family is a place where there should be joy. Joy comes to families when two people decide to share their life together. Joy comes when there are children in the family. There's joy in family vacations. We're taking one soon. There's joy in family meals. Rob and I go to his parents' house for dinner pretty much every Friday. And as we head east, we pick up my mother and off we go. I look forward to this weekly meal with our parentals. It's nothing fancy, but during the shut-in when we couldn't do this, it was so hard to be apart. All we do is eat, talk, laugh, and occasionally play a game of dominoes. So it's nothing fancy, but it's a time when we're together and we're enjoying each other, and that brings me great joy. Joy comes to families when we celebrate life together, as Ginny was telling us, when we celebrate special birthdays and holidays, weddings, babies being born, graduations. That's the good part of family. Unfortunately, in family life, we also have the bad, because life isn't perfect. There are marriages that don't seem to be quite made in heaven. And let's face it, marriage isn't easy. Does any of us really know what we're signing up for when we say I do? I would say not. When I met Rob, I was halfway through seminary. Did either of us know what it meant to be a clergy spouse? Probably not, right, hon? No. That's when you learn on the job. Not everyone has model parents. When that baby arrives, do we really know what to expect, despite the best-selling book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, which we probably all read? Those babies do not come with tags. I looked. No instructions. There are tensions in family that come with struggles due to finance, health issues, or emotional problems. Siblings can have great relationships, and they can also have not so great relationships. There's rivalries, there's jealousy. There can be these childhood incidents that get stuck in our minds and fracture our relationships. Sometimes a simple misunderstanding can tear apart family members, and they're not speaking for years. And sometimes they don't even remember why they stopped speaking to each other. Every family experiences pain, sorrow, suffering, and death. And family members become estranged. They stop relating to each other. And some of these conflicts never get resolved. And that leads to the ugly. Now, I don't know too many people who like conflict. But when these difficult conflicts occur in family, many times avoidance is the approach that we choose to deal with them. And that doesn't usually work. We end up stuffing the hurt down and our feelings deep down inside of ourselves. And then they end up coming out in other ways. Ways that are harmful, such as blaming others instead of owning our own part in the conflict. Or we just get sour and bitter and cranky and irritable, projecting our ick onto other people. Anger builds up, mistrust arises. None of these are productive or healthy. When there is tension in a family, what we really want to have happen is resolution. You want to air it out, lay it all on the table, and talk about it openly and honestly. And we want this resolution so that we can get back to being a whole family, experiencing those joys together again. But we also have to realize that we cannot change other people. We can only change ourselves, and we can only be responsible for our attitudes and how we react. And this is all important, not only in our biological families, but in all of our relationships. Do you remember what Jesus was talking about when the scribes approached him? They accused him of being Satan, Beelzebul, and said that how was he able to heal people of demons? He had to be one himself. And Jesus' response was, how can Satan cast out Satan? In other words, how can a house be divided and still stand? Remember when Jesus said his family was those who desire to do the will of God? His family is not about flesh, blood, or DNA. It's about doing the will of God. We must be about doing the will of God. And we cannot do that if we're divided. Right in this room, there are people who have different political views, different ideologies, even different theologies. And yet God has called us here, together, as a family, in this place. And in order to do God's work in this place, we cannot be divided. We'd be working against each other and accomplishing nothing. We are a family by virtue of the fact that the Holy Spirit has led each one of us here to this place. And we're therefore called by Jesus to be a family here doing the will of God. We're called to serve God's children in this place. That's God's will. We're called to nurture each other and those in our community in order to make more disciples for Jesus Christ. That's God's will. We're called to be a family who loves all people and serves all people. That's God's will. And this we do by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And knowing that should bring you peace, but it should also spark your enthusiasm for what comes next. Are you ready for that? Are you excited for that? These are not rhetorical. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Are you excited for that?
Yes.
My prayer is that you are. Yes, make some noise. My prayer is that you are, and that together we will allow the Holy Spirit to do great things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.